Let's go to issue number 5 here that you have to understand to really wrap your arms around this very significant promise. Notice, if you will, here, number 5. What is the meaning, or what is meant by the expression, the whole world? Let's go back to Revelation chapter 3 and verse 10. What does it say here? Because you have kept the word of my perseverance, I will keep you from the hour of testing, that hour which is about to come upon the what? Not just the world, but the whole world, to test those who dwell upon the earth. Now, the word translated world here is oikoumene, and it's very, very tricky because sometimes oikoumene can mean a region. For example, oikoumene is used of the Roman Empire, which at that time didn't cover the whole globe, just a region, in Luke 2 verse 1 and Acts 11 verse 28. But, watch this now, oikoumene can also mean the whole world. It can mean planet Earth as a whole. We know from Revelation 12, verse 9, and other passages, that Satan deceives the whole world. Does he just deceive a region? No, he deceives planet Earth. In fact, God is going to judge the whole world. Acts 17, verse 31, that's oikoumene. Is he going to just judge a region in the final judgment? No, he's going to judge the whole world. So oikoumene can mean a region in some contexts. Oikoumene can mean the whole planet in other contexts. So how do I know which meaning to supply? What are the three rules of real estate? Location, location, location. What are the three rules of Bible study? The three C's. Context, context, context. You figure this out by the context that you're working in. And when you look at Revelation 3, verse 10, I think the context is clearly talking about all of planet Earth. Because the adjective whole is put in front of world. It doesn't just say world. It says the whole world. And beyond that, when you leave Revelation 3, you come to Revelation 4 and Revelation 5. Do you guys all agree with me on that? That chapter 3 comes before chapters 4 and 5? Can I get an amen on that? I mean, this is cutting-edge stuff we're getting into here. Chapter 3 is followed by chapter 4 and chapter 5. And what happens in chapter 6? The judgments are unleashed where? On a region? The whole world. So, what does the whole world mean? Here's my answer. You ready for this? The whole world means the whole world. I mean, this is heavy. I understand that. So, when he says you're going to be kept from the hour of testing that's coming upon the whole world, he's talking about something that's going to consume planet Earth that the church is exempted from. This takes us in our order here to question number 6. What is meant by testing? What does that even mean? Take a look again at Revelation chapter 3 and verse 10. Notice what the Lord says. Because you have kept the word of my perseverance, I will keep you from the hour of testing. Now that's the root, and from that root comes the noun parosmos. Testing, that hour is about to come upon the whole world to test. Now test is used, same root as a verb. Parazo, to test those on the earth. What does that root word mean? Well, when you look it up in the Greek lexicon, what you'll discover is the test is to demonstrate the quality of something rather than to purify its contents. The test, in other words, is to reveal what someone's true character is. It's not to make them better. It's not to conform them into Christ-likeness. Is to reveal what's really happening inside of them. A second definition, very related, says a test for the purpose of exposing someone's true character, typically with the negative intent to demonstrate a failure. What is God doing with this test? He's putting the world through an ordeal to expose what's really inside of them and to expose the God-haters that they are. That's how the word is used in Revelation 2:2, same book, almost the same chapter, another church at Ephesus. I know your deeds and your toil and your perseverance and that you cannot tolerate evil men, but you have put to the test, same word, those who call themselves apostles and are not, and you have found them to be liars. Why did the church at Ephesus put teachers to the test, false teachers to the test, to expose them as to what they really are? That's the test that's coming upon the whole world. It's to expose people. The true content of people's characters is going to boil to the surface. And let me tell you something, folks. This is not something God does with us. When God puts you through a test or a trial, it is not to set you up for failure. It is not to make you bitter, but it is to make you what? Better. I mean, Romans 8, right? All things work together for what? For good. To those that love God and are called according to His purpose. By the way, the Bible never says all things are good. Don't misquote the Bible. Never says all things are good. Are you telling me when someone has a tragedy in the family, that's good? That's not good at all. The Bible never calls it good. What the promise is God will use it for good. To execute His purpose in your life, which is what? To conform you into the image of His Son. Everything that's happening in your life as a Christian is like sandpaper right now. And God is using all of these things, not to destroy, but to make you better. That's not what this word parazo means. In fact, the book of James says, let no one say when he is tempted, same word, I'm being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, and He does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. God is not in the, with the church, the destroying business. And yet, when this word is used in Revelation 3 verse 10, it's talking about something God is going to do completely different, which is to reveal the failures of the unbelievers that they really are. Bernard Showers puts it this way in his book, Maranatha. Christ, in Revelation 3 verse 10, was declaring that the purpose of the future period of time will be for God to test them to dwell on the earth, to demonstrate or expose the kind of people that they are. Therefore, how could the church be here? Because that's not how God works with the church. Are you following me? So when you start figuring out what it means to test, what that word actually means, you start to see that that is completely antithetical to God's purposes for the church. That's His agenda with the unbelievers. This takes us to number 7. Who are the earth dwellers? I mean, who are these people that are being tested like this by God? Notice number 7, who are the earth dwellers? Go back to Revelation 3 verse 10. So you didn't know this verse was so tricky, did you? Because you have kept the word of my perseverance, I will also keep you from the hour of testing, that hour which is to come upon the whole world, watch this, to test those who dwell on the earth. See that, what I've got there in brackets? That's the Greek expression for earth dwellers. Who are the earth dwellers? Well, what you'll discover when you go to Revelation 13 verse 8, and Revelation 17 verse 8 is that the earth dwellers are those whose names are not found written in the book of life. In other words, they're unbelievers.